My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus shouted those words from the cross as he was dying. In that moment of agony, Jesus felt abandoned by God. In that moment of death, the Son of God experienced the absence of God. And I struggle with that. Perhaps some of you do. I struggle with it because it challenges my understanding of God. I thought God was always with us. I struggle with it because it challenges my understanding of Jesus. How could he challenge God like that? And I struggle with it because it challenges my understanding of spirituality. If Jesus said that to God, am I permitted to say it? Wouldn't that be disrespectful? Wouldn't that be a sign of doubt instead of faith? Wouldn't it be blasphemous? Aren't I supposed to have a complete faith with no doubt? Shouldn't I trust God completely and never question God's presence or loyalty? My God, why have you forsaken me? I struggle with that. But it's real. It's a reality we experience. It's the experience of feeling abandoned by God. It's the feeling that God has left us, that God has turned away from us, that God is no longer with us, that God no longer cares, no longer provides, no longer protects, no longer loves. And it's a common reality. At a few times in my life, it's been my reality. Throughout the world, people know this reality. Throughout history, people have known this reality. It's not new. It's not unique. It's part of humanity's experience of the divine. And it's the reality of Psalm 22. The psalm begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? When Jesus shouted those words of agony from the cross, he remembered not just that one verse, but he remembered the whole psalm. See, that was common practice in his day. It was common practice for people to reference entire psalms by quoting single verses, especially first verses. And the psalms are songs. Whenever you hear a line from a song that you know well, you think of the whole song, not just that one line. So let's try it out. I will say a line from a song that a lot of people know, and you see if you can name the song, and maybe more of the song will come to your mind too. So now give me the name of the song, okay? Not the whole album or anything like that, or the producer, just the name of the song. All you need is love, love, love is all you need. All you need is love, yes. I just pushed this button. I need to push it again. Yep, there we go. Okay, so all you need is love, love, all, love is all you need. It comes from the song, All You Need Is Love, by Beatles, 1967. Okay, here's another one. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. Respect, yes. Aretha Franklin, also in 67. Now, you might have... All right. These are fun songs. They They're part of our history. And you might have noticed that I quoted old songs. You know, they're about 50 years old. They're old enough to be part of our culture's tradition. All right? But they've been around long enough to shape how we think. And that's why I chose old songs instead of new songs, even though I know newer songs would work better for some of you. They just haven't been around as long to get as deep into our culture's DNA. Well, let's try out a couple from the Christian tradition. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Yes, it is well. Well, Horatio of Spafford in 1873. About this one. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Great is that. That one's easy, right? Great is thy faithfulness, written by Thomas Chisholm in 1923. Now, again, I quoted old songs. These were even older than the previous ones. These are words from our history. And words from our history form our memory, our identities. They shape how we talk about God and how we talk to God. Now, I don't mean to ignore those of us who aren't Christians or those of us who haven't been Christians long enough to recognize these songs. I don't mean to ignore those of us whose Christian experience has been in churches that didn't sing these songs. I just want to show that single lines can remind us of whole songs. And that's what we find in the accounts of Jesus crying out from the cross, the opening words of Psalm 22. When Jesus shouted, my God, why have you forsaken me? He thought of the whole 22nd Psalm. And those who heard him thought of the whole Psalm. So this morning, we want to experience more than just the first verse. We want to dive into the whole Psalm. We want the whole Psalm to dive into us. Now, the first verse is helpful. My God, why have you forsaken me? It shows us that faithful people can say something like that to God. It's not blasphemy. It doesn't mean we're faithless. It's part of reality. And if you live with God long enough, you will experience times when you feel abandoned by God. Some of you know from experience what I'm talking about. When you can't keep yourself from crying out to God, questioning God, challenging God, why God? Why did you let this happen? Or in the words of Psalm 13, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? It's okay to feel abandoned by God. It's okay to question God's loyalty. It's okay to doubt God's presence. It's okay to shout at God. It's okay to cry out to God. It's okay to tell God what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're experiencing. It's okay. God expects it. And Jesus knew that. He knew it because he had grown up with the Psalms. Those ancient songs had shaped his life, his identity, his experience of God. So when he hung on that cruel cross, his soul shouted holy words deeply ingrained in him. My God, why have you forsaken me? The beginning words of Psalm 22. Now, the psalm has two parts. The first part is a prayer. And notice that the prayer addresses my God twice, right? My God. The my indicates that the prayer is a member of God's people. A person who trusts God, a person who knows that God has acted in mighty ways in the community's history. This is a person who knows God's presence, knows God's faithfulness, knows God's loyalty. This is a person who knows that God does not abandon people. But the prayer's belief and experience don't match up. The belief and the experience don't match up. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. My God, I cry out by day, but you don't answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet, you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm, not a human being. I am scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me feel secure on my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me. For trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword. My precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouths of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. The prayer believes that God is faithful and present and loyal. The prayer believes that God does great things for God's people. But the prayer's experience doesn't fit. The experience doesn't fit the belief. The prayer feels abandoned by God. The prayer feels God's absence, God's neglect. And so cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In Psalm 22, there's questioning. There's faith. There's petition for God to act. What a beautiful prayer. What a real prayer. This is real life. Real faith. God, I know you're good. I know you have a history of goodness. Countless generations have trusted you and experienced you. But people make fun of me because I believe in you. Enemies surround me. They're like wild animals. They want to tear me apart. Rescue me, God. Deliver me, Lord. I need some help. Where are you? Don't you care? Pay attention and do something. Save me. And the psalm leads us to wonder where God is. It leads us to question God, to challenge God. God, why have you forsaken us? Why have you abandoned us? Why did you let me lose my job? Why did you let my marriage get in trouble? Why did you let me get sick? Why did you let my loved one get sick? Why did you let my family member die? Why, God? Life is falling apart. Marriage problems, money problems, parenting problems, health problems. Where are you? And it's not just our individual lives. Our society is falling apart too. We live in a land of opportunity, but people are denied opportunities because of things way beyond their control. We live in a place of liberty, but poverty and fatherlessness limit that liberty. We live in a land of happiness, but officials who kill unarmed people are set free. Lord, have mercy. How long will you ignore our pain? Why have you forsaken us? But that's not the end of the psalm. And that's not the end of the sermon. What would you do if I ended right there? I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. God, although we have all these questions and challenges, we still praise you. We praise you because we know you'll act. You have not abandoned us. You have not forsaken us. You are with us. So we praise you. We meet here as a people of praise, a family of faith. And we remember not just the afflicted one in Psalm 22, we remember the afflicted one, Jesus, who died as despised and rejected and lowly, but was raised by you to glory. And you will raise us up from our pits of distress and doubt. We believe in you. We trust in you. And so we invite all people to praise you, for you're the one who can calm the chaos in which we live. You're the one who can reconcile conflict and heal brokenness. You're the one who can make sense of the mess we're in. You're the one. You're the only one. When Jesus hung on the cross, giving up his life for the whole world, all of Psalm 22 ran through his mind. And when he cried out those opening words, my God, why have you forsaken me? People near him thought of this whole psalm. And in his resurrection, it became clear that God, who seemed to have abandoned, really had been present the whole time. God is here. God is active. God cares. God loves. And God is doing something awesome in this world, transforming injustice into justice, transforming war into peace, transforming brokenness into wholeness. God is bringing wholeness to people who are told they're not fully human. God is bringing dignity to those who are told they're unworthy. God is bringing enlightenment to the ignorant. God is bringing salvation to the damned. God is bringing life to the dying. Now, we don't understand all that. That confuses us. We look at the world around us and cry out to God, "How long, Lord?" We look at our own lives and cry out, "Why have you forsaken me?" We cry out. We shout out. We express our deepest feeling to the God who can take it. It's in the Bible. It's in the Psalms. It's in the mouth of the Son of God. So it's okay. Cry out. Shout out when you need to. "Why, God? How long, Lord? Why have you forsaken me? Will you abandon me forever?" It's okay to voice our deepest experiences to God. And God hears. God listens. We know that God acts and responds. Even when we don't see, even when we don't understand, God does what God does. God is God. God has done amazing things in the past, and God will do amazing things in the future. One author puts it this way: "I know what God has done in the past, and so I know that I can trust God with my future, even if I do not understand the present." What's your cry to God today? "Lord, why do you let this family trouble continue? Why do you let jobs end? Why do you let people die young? Why do you let marriages disintegrate? Why do you let dreams crumble? Why do you let children lose faith? Why do you let loved ones suffer diseases? Why, God? Why, God? How long, Lord, will you ignore our pain forever?" And Scripture leads us to say, in faith and tears, "God, we know you're faithful. We know you're loyal. We know you never abandon us. And even when we feel your absence, we declare your faith. For you are worthy. You are holy. You are faithful. You are doing something so much bigger than us. Even when we don't understand, we praise you. And we thank you for understanding our cries, our shouts, our frustrations. You are with us in our darkness. You are with us in our doubt. You are with us in our depression. And we thank you. We praise you. You are worthy. You are holy. You are faithful." Let's sing.